But again, we'll have a short word of prayer and we'll hear the Lord. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this time now of hearing Thy word tonight. We thank Thee for the great opportunity, Lord, that it presents. The opportunity to hear Thy word. The opportunity also, Lord, to hear the call of the Lord Jesus Christ, either to follow Him or to become His servants in some kind of full-time capacity. Our gracious God, we do pray that Thou work amongst us, not only amongst us, but in us, in our hearts, and that, Father, Thou bring Thy word to bear upon them tonight and upon our souls. That Thy word, Lord, tonight may not go out just in word only, but also in demonstration of the Spirit and with power, that use Thy word, and that there might be real spiritual dealings with our souls tonight. And Thy Spirit, Lord, may deal with us, deal with our hearts and deal with our souls as it seems good to Thee. So do hear us tonight. Be with us now, we pray, and help us as we hear the word together. And we ask it in His name and for His sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Dear friends, our text for tonight is Mark chapter 1 and verses 16 to 20. Verses 16 to 20 of Mark chapter 1. And also you'll find that parallel passage in Matthew's Gospel, one of the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew 4, 18 to 22. It's a parallel passage to this, and I'm going to wend that passage into what I'm going to say from Mark tonight. And also you have that very interesting verse in Luke chapter 5 and verse 10, the second part of that verse, where Christ says to Peter that he shall catch men, similar to what he said to him on this occasion and also to his brother. But we're looking at this incident, this experience of these men from the light of Mark's gospel. I want to read these verses to you. Mark 1, 16 to 20. Now, as he, Jesus, walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his Simon's brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, James' brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. So last time on a Sunday evening, we continued looking at this second gospel, this gospel according to Mark, and we're looking at the two previous verses to these verses we're looking at tonight. And if you remember, if you were here last Lord's Day evening, we saw that they were verses like these ones and like the whole of this gospel and all the gospels. Those verses were all about our blessed Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Mark was writing to the Gentiles, to the non-Jews here, about him, as everywhere else in his gospel. And we had two headings last time, two straightforward headings. First of all, what our Lord did after his baptism and temptation. In verse 14, he came into Galilee. He arrived or he entered into Galilee after his water baptism and after being baptized with the Holy Ghost, with power without measure. And also after his going into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, having fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, going into that temptation in the power of the Spirit, he came out of that temptation in the power of the Spirit and went into Galilee in the same way. And secondly, we also saw what our Lord did when he did indeed come into Galilee. That again, in the power of the Holy Ghost, he began to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. What we've got to understand about our Lord Jesus Christ is that although he did many, many miracles, what he was first and foremost, he was a preacher. He was the prince of preachers. And he preached the word, he preached his own word in the power of the Holy Spirit with authority. And not as some of the religious leaders of the day. We're told about that gospel that he preached in verse 15. He said, the kind of things he said was that the time is fulfilled. God's redemption promises are now going to be fulfilled. And the preaching of the gospel, that time has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. God's reign and rule in the hearts of men has come as never before. Repent ye. If you want to be redeemed, if you want to be saved, you need to respond to this gospel, to this good news, to sinners of salvation. You need to repent, to turn from your sins, and believe the gospel, believe the good news from your hearts. So that's what we're looking at last time from the two previous verses to the ones we're looking at tonight. Christ, what he did after his baptism and temptation, coming into Galilee, and his activity when he arrived in that place where he had been brought up and where he had plied his trade as a carpenter. But now, dear friends, we come into the next few verses here, verses 16 to 20 of Mark's Gospel. And here, of course, is a passage still about the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. But here we find him in his business of calling men to himself. We have here Mark writing to the Gentiles about Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, calling and effectually calling Simon, four men, four fishermen, two sets of brothers, calling Simon, Andrew, James and John in order to follow him, to come after him and to become his disciples. We know that they were going to be called to be apostles. They were going to be special messengers of the Lord Jesus Christ sent forth to miraculously heal, not in their own name, but in his name, and also to preach the gospel. It was an effectual call that went out. In other words, they obeyed or they heeded the invitation that Jesus Christ gave to them. They're undoubtedly already believers, but this was a further call that was given to them, because we know that he called them at other times before this. But this was a call to perhaps follow him more closely and begin to, as he began to enter his public ministry, more serious, if you like, his great Galilean ministry. So Christ here calling Simon, Andrew, James and John to follow him, to be his disciples. I could apply this, I suppose, tonight to calling to the work of the ministry or calling to the mission field, but I'm going to apply these things evangelistically according to the gospel and the call, the effectual call to people to become Christians, become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in order for that, you not only need to hear this kind of outward or general call of the gospel, to hear the gospel, but in order to become a Christian, my dear friend, you need to hear that inward spiritual call of the Spirit to your heart and to your soul, to repent and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I've got to ask you at this point of the sermon this evening, whether or not you have indeed heard the voice of Jesus speaking to you, calling your soul apart, calling you to follow him. You're not going to hear his audible voice, but you are going to sense and you're going to feel the work of the Spirit, calling you to repentance and calling you to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Has God, has Christ, by his Spirit, effectually and inwardly and spiritually called you to follow him? Well, if he has, praise God for that. And if he has not, I trust that he might do that in your life and experience tonight. So how are we going to look at this call of these four men tonight, these four fishermen? Well, first of all, what we notice, this really divides very easily into two main parts, isn't it? First of all, our Lord calling Simon and Andrew to follow him in verses 16 to 18. And then secondly, in verses 19 and 20, his calling James and John to do so. You might think, well, these two passages here are very similar. Why not just look at the first one? Why bother looking at the second one? Well, I think there are good reasons to look at the second passage as well, although it is very similar. What happened to James and John was very similar to what happened to Simon and Andrew, but there are differences. And there's a different way in which it can be applied, as I trust you'll see. So first of all, let us look at Simon and Andrew's call to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're told that our Lord here, the one who called them, before calling them, he saw them. And we're told that he saw them as he was walking by the Sea of Galilee. So say he'd been baptized in Judea, he'd been tempted in the wilderness of Judea, but he had returned back home, hadn't he? He'd gone back up the Jordan, back into Galilee, to Nazareth, and around those regions. And so he was back there in the north of Israel, in Galilee. And it's while he was there that he saw these men. And as I say, as he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, our Lord incarnate, seeing with eyes, our Lord walking. He had legs, he had a body, he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. We find him here walking by the Sea of Galilee. One of the commentators renders it, while he was going, or while he was passing along the Sea of Galilee. And none of these things were chance, none of these things were coincidence. This was all in God's plan, and all in Christ's plan here. Well, who were they that he called? And who were they that he saw upon this occasion? Well, he saw Simon, Matthew adds, called Peter. And Peter was quite an impetuous kind of individual, wasn't he? Until the Lord dealt with him through grace and helped him to become a patient, more thoughtful and wise person. But he's a very impetuous man. He became the leader of the 12 apostles and was mentioned first in every list of the apostles. Christ saw him. This man who was going to be such an important factor in the future of the church and in the early church in the first century. He's going to become a great preacher, wasn't he? But that was a long way off as yet. This was just his initial call to become Christ's disciple, his follower. And also he saw his brother Andrew. Of course, he'd had dealings with these men before. We know that Andrew already found Christ and brought his brother Simon to the Lord Jesus Christ before this. But now it's a more powerful call to follow Christ, more full time, if you like. You're going to spend more time with Christ as he begins his public ministry. So our Lord saw Simon, and then he saw Andrew, Simon's brother. And Andrew was one who a little later on, he wasn't going to as much be a great leader, but he was going to be somebody who on a private basis was going to bring many people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord saw two brethren, saw two brothers. Two men who are brothers in Christ spiritually, and also two brothers who are brothers naturally. And what is it that our Lord saw them doing? He saw them casting a net into the sea. Casting or throwing a net, a casting net into the Sea of Galilee. Perhaps from the shore, or perhaps from a boat perhaps, a little way off from the shore. When such a net was cast over the shoulder, perhaps you've seen this sometimes on your television sets, somebody fishing in this way, they would have this net in their hands, they'd cast it over their shoulder, and they'd put a little bit of a twist to it, the net would spread out, forming a circle as it struck the water, and then because of the pieces of lead attached to it, the net then quickly sank, capturing the fish underneath. This is what these men were doing. They were fishing. He saw them doing this because this was their trade. This was their secular calling. They were fishers because our Lord calls all kinds of different people to himself to become his people and to be his servants too. All different kinds of people from all different kinds of background. These were the men that he saw on this occasion. In fact, he was going up, walking up the Sea of Galilee on this occasion in order to find them and in order to call them. First of all, he sees them with his eyes as he walks up the Sea of Galilee in order to talk to them, in order to invite them to follow him. And my dear friend, let's remember that our Lord Jesus Christ is still alive. Our Lord Jesus Christ is in the glory. He's at the right hand of the Father. And he's looking down. He sees us. He sees you tonight. He sees you sitting here this evening, and perhaps, just perhaps, in God's goodness and in God's providence, he's just about to speak to you. that he'll fix you with his eyes. We saw last Thursday, if you were here last Thursday evening with a Bible study, in the book of Judges, and the way in which God called Gideon in order to be a deliverer and a judge in his days, to deliver his people from the Midianites, their oppressors in those days, many years ago. And before God called Gideon, the angel of the Lord, pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, fixed Gideon with his eyes and then spoke to him. And God still does a similar thing today. That's before he calls men into the work of the ministry, before he calls men or women onto the mission field, and before he calls sinners to himself, it is as though suddenly he looks upon them. And you're conscious of the presence of God, and God having dealings with you by his Holy Spirit. Oh, my dear friend, may God look kindly upon you this evening. May Christ look down upon you tonight, and may he about to call you to be his disciple, his follower, to turn from your sins and to trust in him and begin to follow him in your life. May he look upon you. Maybe he'll be aware. He's fixing his eyes upon you, getting your attention in order that he might speak gently and quietly to your heart. So our Lord, seeing these men, and perhaps they now seeing him, he speaks to them. And the word that he speaks to these two brothers is a second call, if you like, to them, a second command, also or an invitation to them to follow him. He'd done this before. And also it has a promise with it too. And this was his call to them. He said to them, come after me. Matthew has, follow me. Begin to follow me physically. Come after me, literally, physically, but also begin to follow me, my example, and listen to my teaching. Become more and more like me. So it's spiritual as well. And if you do this, if you do follow me, I will make you to become fishers of men. If you follow me, if you become one of my disciples, if you come hard after me and have me as your example and your leader and your instructor, you'll come to do something far greater than what you're doing now. There was nothing wrong with their secular calling. Rather humble calling they had, a fisherman. But if they followed Christ, they were going to one day do something far greater. And he puts it into the illustration, the analogy they'd understand. If you follow me, you're fishers. And you catch fish. But if you follow me, and you come to preach my gospel, you'll come to catch men with the net of that gospel. You'll cast it out, you'll preach the word, and as people hear, they'll repent and believe. And the Apostle Peter became a great catcher of men, didn't he? Few thousand on the day of Pentecost. And after that as well, he became a master fisherman. And Andrew too, perhaps more privately, kind of bringing people one by one to the Lord Jesus Christ. But these men, Christ fulfilled his promise. They did obey, and he fulfilled his promise. He was faithful. They did become fishers of men. And I ask you tonight, my dear friend, has the Lord Jesus Christ challenged you in this way? Has he spoken to your soul? Has he called your soul apart? And has he given you this invitation? Surely he has, surely he does now. Come after me. Stop following whatever you are following. Begin to follow me. Begin to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to him, look to him, believe in his person, believe who he is. Believe that he's your saviour, he died for your sins upon the cross, and he's risen again on the third day. Let him be your saviour, your personal Lord and saviour. And follow his example in your life, become more like him. And as you do, you'll become a fisher of men too. I was thinking, my dear friends, the best way to become an evangelist, a winner of souls, it's just to disciple Christ. If you don't follow him, if you continue in a worldly way, you're not going to be much of a winner of souls. But if you want to win souls, you've got to follow Christ. You've got to imitate him. You've got to become holy. You've got to be like him. And know his teaching. And know the kind of blessing that he had on his ministry upon your lives. So as Christ said this to you, come after me. And I will make you to become fishers of men. And look at the response of Simon and Andrew here to his call. Because you see, it was an effectual call. It's not only that they not only heard the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the work of the Holy Ghost went on in their hearts and in their souls, so that they were prepared once again to forsake everything. They were prepared to leave everything. It says here, immediately, straight away, at once, they were prepared to forsake their nets. But we know that for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were prepared to leave parents, they were prepared to leave homes, they were prepared to leave family, they were prepared to leave everything for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, to become his disciples. And nobody is worthy of Christ who's not prepared to leave everything for him. He doesn't always ask us to do that, but we must be prepared to do so. That's all part of counting the cost before we become Christians. And it's the same when God calls somebody into the work of the ministry or the mission field. You've got to be prepared to leave everything, to deny yourself, and to take up your cross and follow him. So they forsook their nets straight away. Immediately. It was immediate obedience. Instant obedience. And they began to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in the way. Oh, my dear friend, have you begun to follow him? Perhaps you've been discipling Christ for many years. Well, praise God for that. But perhaps as yet you've not taken one step behind him, not one step towards him. But may through grace you take that first step tonight to turn to Christ, turn to God, and begin to disciple this blessed person. Because no, there's no better person to follow. There's no other person to believe in order to be saved. And no better teacher and example, one who is so faithful to all of his people. So that, first of all, was the call of Simon Peter, and also his brother Andrew. And secondly, it is similar, not the same, of course, dealing with different people, and a different time, a little bit later on. We have now the calling of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, these men who are going to be nicknamed the Sons of Thunder, perhaps because they really thundered out the word. They were great preachers, thundering preachers, really thundered out the word, just like George Whitefield loved to hear men to do in his day, to thunder out the gospel. And it's a similar thing. Christ also sees them with his eyes. But this is a little bit later on. He'd gone a little further from where he dealt with Simon Peter, with Andrew, a little bit further down the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Going on from there, going on from thence, he now sees these two. James, the son of Zebedee. He was the first of the 12 to wear the martyr's crown. And we're told about his martyrdom in Acts chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. King Herod killed him, or had him killed with a sword, because of his stand, because of his faith. And also, and this is just the beginnings of his discipleship, it's going to end in martyrdom. And also our Lord saw John, his brother, the apostle, one who was to be the apostle John, who was called the disciple whom Jesus loved. The Lord loved, he loves all his people very intensely, but between Jesus and John, the tie of attachment and understanding was the tenderest. So he saw two other brethren. And he saw them. It sounds in Mark as though they're in the same ship as with Simon and Andrew, but of course they weren't. They were in a ship, or in a boat, another boat, with Zebedee their father. And these were actually fishing. They'd either been fishing, or they were going to be going fishing, because they were mending their nets. Same kind of scenario. Christ sees them. But you see, it's after his seeing and his dealing with Simon and with Andrew. And the reason why I think it's a good thing to look at this passage as well as the former is because God deals with people at different times. It may be that in God's goodness and grace, he might already touch somebody here tonight. He might already have called a sinner to himself. And perhaps that passage was for you. But now this passage is for somebody else. As God now looks elsewhere in the congregation, and he begins to deal with somebody else a little bit later on, somewhere else in the church, somewhere else in the congregation, as the Spirit of God moves sovereignly where he will. One moment Simon Andrew called, the next James and John. And in a congregation, somebody converted over here, somebody converted over there. God moving sovereignly as he will, dealing with souls, convicting them, and soundly converting them to himself. God has a perfect plan, hasn't he? And he has an appointed time for everything. And those who are his people, he has an appointed time for the, is a specific and particular perfect time when they're going to come to him. One might come at the beginning of a meeting, or the beginning of a message, one in the middle, one towards an end, as it seems good to him. So a little bit later on, Christ sees these men, and he deals with them in a similar way that he issues his invitation, his call to them. He calls them straight away, immediately, both of these men. And what is their reaction? It's the same reaction, it's the same response as Simon and Andrew. Immediately, they're obedient to him. It's an effectual call, powerful call to their hearts. And they leave the boat, they leave the ship, and their father Zebedee. And some people who don't appreciate what all of this is saying here, quite critical at this point. Yeah, that's a little bit unfair, isn't it? Leaving Zebedee there on his own to continue to be a fisherman without his sons. But notice, in the kindness of God, Zebedee's not left on his own, because they don't leave him on his own, they leave him with the hired servants, with the men. And so sometimes God does call people to himself, but he's very good at those, perhaps into the work of the ministry, onto the mission field, but God is good to those that are left behind and make sure that they are well cared for. So they left their father and they went after the Lord Jesus Christ with all their hearts, with all their soul, with all their might. And look what happened as a result of that. Such great blessing came as a result of the obedience of these men. And I want to ask you before I close, my dear friends, are you prepared to leave? Many things, perhaps God might call you one day to leave father and mother, but are you prepared to leave absolutely everything in order to become a Christian? Counted the cost, and you're prepared to leave everything for this person because you love him so much and you want him before anything else. He is the pearl of great price, and just like our Lord's parable, you're prepared to sell everything else. That man was prepared to sell all the other pearls for this one pearl of great price. And are you prepared to leave and to forsake everything? He may not call you to do so, but you're prepared to do it in order to be his disciple. Because he taught, he said, if you're not prepared to do that, you are not worthy of me. You've not appreciated just how special Christ is. And you've not appreciated how great the salvation is. It's a salvation from hell, and it's a salvation to heaven if you trust in him. And that's better than anything else. You must seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added to you. Have you gone after him? Gone after him with all your heart, the pursuit of God. So here we have our Lord's call here in this passage. First of all, the call of Simon and Andrew, those two brethren, and then James and John. And the conclusion of the matter is this, concerning Christ's call to these men, these four fishermen, these four brethren. They did follow him. They did go after him. And my dear friends, look at the difference. You think if Christ hadn't called them, what would have happened to them? Well, they'd have carried on fishing. They'd have carried on in obscurity. Nobody would ever have heard of these four men. They'd have lived out their lives and they'd have died and gone into eternity. And nobody, there'd be no memorial, no remembrance of them at all. But because Christ issued the call and through grace they obeyed, my dear friends, what men these became through grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit working in their lives, particularly after the day of Pentecost, Who has not heard of the Apostle Peter? Who has not heard of his epistles? Who has not heard of the day of Pentecost and Peter's preaching there and his subsequent preaching? Who's not heard of the way in which he died, the glorious way in which he died, suffered greatly, but he died triumphantly and had a better resurrection, abundant entrance into God's kingdom? Who's not heard of Andrew, that evangelist? Who's not heard of the Apostle John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, his epistles, those lovely letters of his, the book of Revelation, Gospel of John, all these wonderful things that was produced through God's work in these men's hearts and lives. And also his brother James, that first martyr, such an important pillar in the early church. What God made of these men, and we remember them still, hundreds of years after they lived, and they'd only been humble fishermen. Well, my dear friend, what are you going to do? Are you not going to heed Christ's call to you to repent and to believe in him and to follow him? If you don't, well, you'll live out your life. Perhaps you get married. If you're not married already, have a job, get older, pension time, and then you'll die. You go to a lost eternity. If you're not Christ, you'll go to hell and be punished forever. But if you do follow him, what a different life, what a glorious life the Christian life is. To follow Christ is a far more noble life, a far more rewarding life. It's going to end in a glorious reward of glory, everlasting, of heaven. It's going to end in an endless rest, an eternal Sabbath day with the Lord, as we heard this morning. That'll be far, far better. You may do things in this world, you might be remembered for them, but not for very long. But if you become Christ's, your name, especially if you become a soul winner, you'll be remembered throughout all the ages. You'll shine as the stars in the firmament of heaven throughout all eternity. Oh, my dear friend, become a Christian tonight. There's no better life, no more glorious life, and no more better person to follow. No more better book to read, no more better life to live, because it's to the glory of God. Will you not hear Jesus Christ speaking to you tonight? And through grace, will you not obey to the glory of God? Amen. Amen.